CliffCentral.com. It is a Tuesday morning, CliffCentral.com. It's 7 o'clock on the dot, and if you're looking for things to get stuck into today in terms of what's happening in the world, you know, usually over a long weekend, you pay as little attention to the news as you could possibly do, and we do as well. But we've decided for this morning, we will suspend disbelief and bring you some important and useful stuff. Where do we begin? Well, Leanne said that she's been spending a lot of time this weekend thinking about weed.
Yes, I have indeed.
But are you a weed? You
know, no, not at all. I really can't stand the stuff. I don't like the smell. I don't like the taste. I don't like the feeling.
Okay.
I'd much rather just have a lot of red wine. But yeah, I noticed on Heritage Day that there was obviously the smell of braise was just overwhelming wherever you went.
Yeah.
But then I noticed that there was also a lot of weed smell going on.
Did you smell
a
lot of weed?
I really did.
Oh, you smelt it a lot?
I went to a festival over the weekend. My jumping Jesus, was it everywhere?
Really?
Oh, yeah. That was just the overwhelming feeling. And people were casually as well just smoking it very obviously. No one trying to be coy about it. No one trying to hide it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how I missed it, but I missed that it was no longer illegal to smoke weed. And over the weekend, I was thinking to myself, you know, sooner or later, because we're so influenced by the West and America, sooner or later, we're going to have to legalize it. Lo and behold, it is legal. But my dad even sent me out like a sniffer dog.
Oh, really?
He came into the house and he said, I think I'm smelling weed in the front of the garden. Someone's smoking pot. So he said, won't you go and have a smell? Oh. I'm like, Dad, you grew up in the 60s. You should know much better than I do.
But did you find it? Did you find the source?
Yeah, there was definitely someone lighting up.
Was it your neighbor?
Must have been neighbors. I couldn't tell where it was coming from.
Over the past couple of days, I've just been surprised by the number of people who actually smoke weed who've now come out of seemingly the woodwork ever since it's been legalized. Now people are sharing and posting. I'm like,
these were obviously people who were embarrassed or thought that it would have a professional, you know, impact on their lives or on their professional careers because it was illegal.
Yeah.
Now that they know it's legal, and apparently, how's this? My sister, who's in law, said to me the police directive was sent out. Remember we spoke about this just the other day. What is legal, what isn't?
Mm.
And what will you be arrested for? Apparently anything more than 3 kilograms.
Oh my goodness.
You're in trouble.
See,
but 3 kilograms.
3 kilograms is a lot.
I mean, if you hold weed in your hand, it's literal grass. Yeah, it's so light.
You know when you mow the lawn?
You can build a child's house out of 3 kilograms of weed.
Exactly.
But it's talking about how normal-looking people seem to be coming out of the woodwork with pot.
Normal-looking?
Yeah.
You mean not funny-looking?
I mean, newspapers, when they're reporting on this and online newspapers and that sort of thing, they use the most incredible images when they obviously just source something from stock images.
Right.
And instead of putting a normal person on who's having a normal drag of a normal roll, whatever they're called.
A spliff.
They've got like these heavily dreaded Rastafarians in clouds of smoke with these huge bongs. And you know, it's like, why do that?
Because they're trying to make it look like it's not something that ordinary people do. There are plenty of very ordinary, normal, functional, and by that I don't mean anything pejorative. I just mean these are not Rastafarians with millions of
How often do you
cubic
see
tons
that?
Of smoke around them? No, of course not.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. But the whole thing is just ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's us legalizing pot at home has become really good news for our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lesotho provides 80% as it is of our dacha. Yeah.
Oh.
And in fact, So Lesotho, firstly. Their farms, their cannabis farms, have been existing for ages, primarily to supply South Africa.
Oh. Hey, guys,
marijuana,
it's legal now. Aren't you happy?
Yeah, marijuana was the third largest source of hard currency in Lesotho. 70% of the weed entering South Africa originated in Lesotho. Then Swaziland, or Eswatini, known for its higher potency strain,
Swazi. What do they call it? Swazi
Black, Swazi Gold.
Swazi Gold.
Many families in the impoverished country have turned to growing weed, which is then exported to South Africa and Mozambique.
Great.
In fact, cannabis cultivation has the potential to triple Swaziland's GDP, with an estimated annual income of $1.26 billion. That's 26 times higher than sugar exports.
Fantastic.
So Zimbabwe has also tried to follow suit by legalizing cannabis farming in May, but has had to roll back the decision after outcry from more conservative sections of the country.
Yeah, I don't understand that. You know what? It doesn't. If you're not into smoking weed, don't smoke weed. Don't bother other people who are. It's got nothing to do with you. Your own feelings on this matter are completely unimportant.
But yeah, I mean, we could basically be the economy of Swaziland and
Lesotho. We could be rejuvenating their economy.
And even Malawi, yeah.
Ah, so there we go. But okay, so as long as you're not carrying more than 3 kilograms of it, which you'd need a Pantechnicon truck for. I mean, if you're carrying 3 kilograms, you're dealing.
I think if you're carrying 3 kilograms, you're done.
I mean, that's a lot. How do you... You would have to carry like a hay bale size.
No.
It would be. It's a huge amount of weed, man. Right?
It's like 3 kilograms of feathers. It's a lot. It's a big, bulky thing.
Sure, definitely. Madness. All right. Well, I mean, this whole weed thing has got everybody talking. There is a smell of weed in the air, and you could see a lot of people celebrating this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people saying, this is my heritage. This is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, and I mean, it's... Cannabis has got a huge history in South Africa, where it was all good and well, and a lot of cultural practices involved smoking weed. But then the colonials came in.
Yeah, and they made their rules.
Yeah, and they made their rules. They even pinned it or tacked it onto opium laws at one point, just saying how bad it was for people. And in the meantime... In Zulu culture in particular, cannabis was seen as a source of both sociability, relief from anxiety and pain. And for young migrant workers, smoking dacha was a cultural symbol of personal freedom and mature manhood. So, yeah, it does have a huge history, stemming from the first laws which were passed in 1922.
I heard that those laws were also passed to protect tobacco farmers, that people wanted to sell tobacco instead of selling weed. And they had already formalized the tobacco industry, or in some way started to do so. And the sacrificial lamb had to be weed. Hey, Faith, what's up?
Hey, how's it morning, guys? Morning, team. Hello, Ed. It's so nice to hear you guys.
Hola.
All right, what's up, Faith? What do you got on your mind?
No, just listening to you guys talking about the whole debacle about smoking weed. And yes, I'm a pothead. They've been for a couple of years.
You don't mind being called. Hold on, you don't mind being called a pothead.
No, I call myself a pothead.
Okay, all right. So now you take it for medicinal reasons, but before it was just recreational.
No, I haven't taken it. The last time I smoked must have been about my early 20s.
Oh wow!
I didn't smoke for many, many, many years, and yeah, just had a couple of offs with a couple of complications, and not affect me. Give it a bash. So I tried THC oil, worked, not as much as I was hoping for, and then I started smoking.
Apparently, a lot of people tell me that it has tremendous beneficial aspects or values or qualities when it comes to treating people who are suffering from cancer. Is that right?
Yeah, mine wasn't cancer. Mine is chronic pain relief. I've had a lot of tumors and stuff removed, which is a lot of joints and tendons and especially nerves. So it helps on that aspect. I used to live on painkillers, and I don't anymore.
Yeah, I've heard lots of people who claim that there are all kinds of health benefits for this, and I don't see why they shouldn't be allowed to take them. I mean, there are so many prescription medicines that are so dangerous that people are on chronically, 24/7. They're on antidepressants. They're on all kinds of mood enhancers. They're taking a handful of pills every day. Don't tell me that weed is worse than that.
no, it goes, you know, to treat chronic pain relief, you've actually got to get neural blockers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you've got a bad flare-up, please believe me, I am a zombie. At least if I can have a joint or two at night, I'm a totally functioning person. I'm not taking any harmful medication. And I've made no bones about it. My boss is even now smoking. Yeah, it's all a big fun and joke. And, yeah. Life goes on. I'm not a heavy drinker, so,
If you had family, if you had a kid who smoked weed, what would your reaction be? What's the appropriate, response?
You know what, live and let live. They're not doing anything harmful. They're not harming anybody. They're not getting in a car blind drunk where you've got a higher chance of not just killing yourself, but everybody around you.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. It's natural. Yes, I do have a problem with hard drugs like crack, cocaine.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many, because it's all chemical. Weed is not chemical, it's natural.
Okay.
Well, according to colonialists, physicians, police, government officials, and wine farmers back in the day, they lobbied for more strict controls. They claimed it was a substance that diminished the work ethic of agricultural laborers, increased crime, and encouraged sex across the color line.
Oh, horrible.
I'm obviously doing something wrong because I work harder. I clean my whole house when I'm flipped and...
You do? You clean the whole house, huh?
I clean the whole house, yep.
You get all productive. I like that. All right.
I get super productive. If I spoke during the day, I would be so freaking organized. My to-do list would have to-do list.
All right. Well, it sounds like you got everything together there, Faith.
No, cool.
Okay. I like this.
Well,
you're organized. All right, honey. Bye-bye.
All righty. Cheers.
Bye. There we go. There's Faith. Living it up.
This is really opening my mind in so many ways because I have to adjust to hearing, you know, older, accomplished, professional people use words like spliffed and calling themselves potheads. But this is it. It just is what it is.
The new world's here.
Spliffed.
We're talking about a bunch of things, but I don't know if... did I tell you about the five things Cyril Ramaphosa wants to do?
Six, isn't it, Gareth? Isn't he six things?
I only know about five. Maybe you can throw in the sixth one if you can find it.
I think it was a six-point plan.
So I have the five-point plan here, which involves the following. Number one, he wants to immediately hire staff in the public health sector to alleviate pressure on overworked staff. I'm sure that'll be good news to doctors, nurses. Let's see if he can get that done. I want to give Cyril the benefit of the doubt. Everybody's been telling me how good he is. So far, he hasn't shown us that. But let's say he just suddenly starts to pull it out and make things happen.
Mm.
All right. So first of all, more healthcare staff, right?
Good.
Okay. Yeah.
The council has also, this is now David Mabuza in, he's the deputy president, of course, has said that they're going to also pledge to ensure that linen beds, emergency trolleys, and other equipment will be purchased to improve the quality of public healthcare. Because you know it's pretty crap. Number two, provincial healthcare budgets will be revised because they know that that's where the source of some of the problems are. Number three, they're going to do a countrywide beautifying and cleanup campaign.
That's nice.
I hope so. I mean, this really would make a difference because if you live in squalor and filth and you're surrounded by litter all the time, you can't have respect for yourself.
Yeah.
Driving along and hitting a patch where there's just litter, it actually makes you feel unproductive.
It does everything horrible to you. So the presentation by Minister Derek Harnicom is going to seek to clean up and beautify the country. The aim is to create a South Africa that is clean of litter and illegal dumping, the presidency said. Now, that'll be great. If they can get that right, I'll be blown away.
Yeah, and in South Africa, there's literal illegal dumping too. Maybe they can fix that up.
Yeah, and you know what they also could do? Is they could do what I know that the Herman Mashaba, the mayor of Johannesburg, has done. He has this one day every month where they go out and they clean a river or they clean a park or they some part of the country that is public. But I think that the problem is we've got to stop people from littering, not go around and clean up their mess for them. We've got to find out why it is that people will drink something out of a carton and just throw it down on the ground. That's what we've got to figure out. And then they're going to do a local drive to manufacture school desks. They have agreed on immediate steps to deliver furniture to schools. Some 800,000 pieces of furniture are currently required by 24,000 schools. The presidency said it would consider manufacturing schemes where school furniture production could generate jobs for youth and stimulate economic activity in communities.
Hmm.
And then finally, they want to secure schools. And by that, they mean that they have brought up in the schools have brought up in previous discussions, their biggest problems, budget limitations, staffing levels, teacher development, infrastructure development, and the provision of psychosocial services to learners as challenges facing education in South Africa. It undertook to engage, that's the council that the president's established, further with the Basic Education Department and the South African Police to collaborate to secure schools. What do you think of that?
Those are very specific points.
I think those would be great. It would be a great start. See, the problem is if you say that, if you're going to do that, then you need to know that we're going to be watching you.
And we're going to hold you accountable.
Right. We're going to expect some results.
Yeah.
We're not just going to let this go, right? Anushka's on Skype. Hey, Anushka, what's up?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, lovely. What's happening?
I'm tired.
Yeah, you sound like you're tired.
I just woke up. Yeah. It is 12:15. I'm in Vietnam.
Oh, right. What's happening over there? Are you still teaching?
No, I'm drunk.
No. I mean,
I'm on a fucking holiday. And I'm
oh,
still
are you
drunk.
On a holiday? I thought you were teaching over there, like so many people do.
No.
Okay, you're drunk.
I wouldn't want to teach you. I don't want to teach you. There's some chaos going on here.
Are you in the middle of Vietnam or are you on the coast somewhere?
I'm in Ho Chi Minh City.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting place, huh? Lots of history there.
It's so interesting. It's organized chaos. There's no fucking robots here. People are just driving all over the place.
Yeah.
On little motorbikes. It's such a culture shock, but I'm enjoying it.
How are you getting around?
We use a app called Grab, which is the equivalent to a Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk. I mean, we visited the War Museum yesterday.
Yeah.
It was very emotional. We think we have issues in South Africa. These guys had some major fucking issues there. But I'm just so happy that they were able to rebuild the discipline here. Everything is just good. But now I'm drunk.
Well, where did you go to get drunk?
Where were we? We were in some party street. They had the Luna Festival yesterday.
Yeah.
And there were lanterns and, we were just drinking everywhere and eating. I hope I didn't eat a dog last night. I ate something that was weird, but it was nice. Oh, my God, my husband's laying on the floor.
Is he all right?
It was good, though. No, I don't know.
Do we need to call the embassy?
No, don't.
All right, very good.
Oh my God. My friends are arriving tonight, and we're already fucking looking like this.
How many days have you been there? How many days have you been in Vietnam?
2 days.
Okay, you're already that drunk. Second day.
Yeah, I think it might be something to do with the time.
I gotta say,
I think it's the time.
You
guys have morning, and we're almost in night.
You sound pretty good for a drunk person.
Thank you. So, guys, are people going? Oh, listen. So, last night I was playing a clip to people we met about the lady that was fucking shouting out of her head. She's from Cape Town.
Yes, we love her.
What is that girl's name? Please play that clip again. I want Ricardo to listen to this.
I've got to be able to find it. I don't know if I've still got it here.
The lady that trashed the convenience
store. Yes, I know. I've got to find her, though.
Farkofrit.
Yes, that one. She was furious.
I want that. I actually just phoned you guys to please play that so I can have a good laugh and have a shower and go swim.
I'll see if I can find it for you later.
Thank you so much. Guys, do what you do and please keep South Africa safe, especially with all these Dacha Kopa that's not going to start smoking more. Dacha Kopa.
All right, thanks.
I don't think they have that shit here in Vietnam, so I'm safe.
All right, Anushka. Cheers.
Wow.
She started off so well. She didn't sound that drunk, and then
as soon as you said something,
towards the end of the call, just all fell apart, huh?
Oh gosh!
All right, so I found something interesting. Ben actually sent this to me last night, and I'm not going to play you the whole thing because it's a long TED talk, and this guy does the experiments and shows you all the chemical equations and everything else. But basically, what do you think happens when you lose weight? What do you think happens to the weight?
Your body just uses it up.
Yeah, but where does it go?
Through your poop chute. I don't know.
You think you shit out the weight?
Well, I know. It probably gets absorbed into your urine and feces. And
okay, what do you think, Sia?
Yeah, because if it's fat and you burn, I don't know.
If you exercise and you burn fat, what happens to the fat? Where does that matter go? You can't destroy matter. So what happens to it?
Well, I mean, if you put margarine onto a hot pan, eventually it kind of, if you had to leave it there for ages, it would just kind of disappear. Evaporate.
It doesn't disappear. It turns into something. What do you think it is, Nola? What do you think happens to it?
Shit, I don't know. Doesn't it become stored energy or something?
Matter can't change into energy. This is important.
It just goes into a different form.
Yeah, it changes chemically. What happens to fat?
And is it something that we would know, that we can identify?
Yes, very easily identify.
Lard. I don't know.
From human fat to lard.
So Ben sent me this TED talk by a guy who explains that what happens to fat is it has a chemical formula. I think it's C55.
Mine's C105.
H160 and O6. I think that's roughly the chemical formula. There are different kinds of fats, but it's mostly somewhere around that. What it does is when you exercise, it breaks up that fat into three trans fatty acids.
Okay.
And those get either used up and get converted into something useful for the cells, or they get expelled from the body in two ways, as water or carbon dioxide. And they figured out that 80% or more of what fat becomes when you are exercising is carbon dioxide.
So farts.
No, you breathe out through your mouth most of the fat.
You breathe out most of your fat.
Mm-hmm. If you're losing weight and you've got your heart rate up and you're busy exercising, most of the fat turns to carbon dioxide in your breath.
Does it have a smell?
No, not at all. It smells like if you took a soda stream and went psh.
Jeez, that's very convenient.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, no one's ever really sat next to someone while they've been losing weight and gone, I can smell that now.
I can smell the sweat smell.
Your adipose tissue breath is just revolting.
But isn't that interesting? Yeah. Because I've often thought about it. When you're exercising, you're like, I wonder where this stuff's going. Because you want to get rid of the fat, but what happens to it? So they've figured out that a small percentage of it turns to water.
And that is your sweat, your...
Yeah, urine.
Sweat, urine, some of it, you also, in your exhalations, you also get rid of some of that. But most of it is carbon dioxide that you breathe out. Fascinating.
Yeah, that really is.
I thought so.
Wow.
All right, so there's some useful and interesting facts for you this morning.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this parliamentary manager who committed suicide.
Oh shit, what happened here? Because I don't even know about this story.
His name is Lennox Karane, 57 years old, and he shot himself in his office on the 14th of September. It's now all emerged that it was a suicide, that he'd left a suicide note, and this note was circulated at his memorial service over the weekend. And it was because of bullying.
In Parliament.
His suicide was his decision and a protest against 20 months of bullying. So he was a section manager in Parliament's International Relations and Protocol Division.
I thought bullying only happened to people under a certain age, but this guy was in his 50s and he was bullied.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's described how his life became a misery after a former ANC MP was appointed as his manager. He did submit a grievance, but the man to whom he reported this unrepentant bully refused to consider it. He then even tried to complain to Balege Mbete and Thandi Modise, the speakers. Nothing came of that. And in desperation, he submitted a protected disclosure to the Parliament committee responsible for oversight over parliamentary administration, All this time, his manager continued to abuse and isolate him. He called it a psychologically and emotionally wrecking experience, a pure devil-inspired act. 20 months on, he couldn't take it anymore, and he had to resort to this protest action to get the message across to the perpetrators and protectors of unfairness.
Oh, wow. Yeah. God, that's hectic. You take your own life because you're being bullied in an adult environment like Parliament.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, the National Education Health and Allied Workers Union, NAHAWU,
that's horrendous.
Says that the suicide doesn't come as a shock because so many people in Parliament are regularly dealing with cases of victimization, bullying and abuse of power by senior management members.
So remind me, what did this ANC MP do to drive this guy over the edge?
Just literally for 20 months solid.
Oh my God.
Abused him verbally, isolated him. Psychologically tormented him.
I wonder if this person, they named, right, in the letter.
I'd hope so.
Yeah, and then I wonder how they feel about that they've driven this person to their death.
I don't know if he was named in the letter. He's not named in this article. He's just described as a former ANC MP.
Wow, that's hectic, huh? Jesus.
A protest suicide is what it's called. This bullying, we're obviously seeing huge movements against it, especially with bloggers and beauty bloggers, in fact, especially makeup bloggers, fashion bloggers.
What, do they get especially victimized?
Yeah, definitely. Plus-sized models. And one of these bloggers who lives in the UK, her name's Nabila Noor, she's Bangladeshi, and she... you know, gets lots of comments on her appearance and what she looks like and how she needs to lose weight, etc. But the one that really stuck out for her was a comment that said, "If I looked like you, I would kill myself."
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, she said that actually changed her life forever. She then filmed another video, which has received so many views. She didn't expect it to. She filmed a video writing words that people have called her with a brown contour stick on her face. And then she blended those words out and wrote with concealer, "I love me." And millions of people have responded with lots of love and support. I mean, she modeled at New York Fashion Week. She's a really beautiful girl. And yeah, just to hear those words, she said she'd heard people saying, "Why don't you kill yourself? Because of the way you look." But to hear that somebody else would have killed themselves if they woke up looking like her.
Oh my God. You see, if people don't think about this stuff, can I tell you what? I reckon, and she's a beautiful looking woman.
Yeah.
I reckon there should be a penalty. Like on social media, you should have to, if you're going to be insulting, you should have to pay money.
Free to press like, but if you press dislike or comment badly.
If you want to comment, then you've got to pay like $50 to that person. And that way they can earn money out of your hatred, because otherwise the hatred is just doing a huge amount of damage. Don't you think?
Definitely.
I mean, it drives me crazy that people, no one's ever held responsible for comments like that. Now you think about this person who's committed suicide at Parliament because they felt so horrible about what was being said to them. Day in and day out. I mean, that's just vicious and cruel.
And he'd gone to the top to report it. And there was just no help.
There needs to be a consequence for people like this.
Yeah.
You know, for the bullies. They can't just do what they want the whole time and not have to bear any responsibility for what happens to people. You know, in China, they've got this social... what do they call it? Social credit system or whatever. Where if you behave yourself online... you gain points.
I didn't know that.
And if you don't behave yourself online, you lose points. Now, I don't want a Big Brother system where the government decides who gets social credit and who doesn't. But there should be some, like if you know, you get a verified tick on Twitter if you have a certain number of followers and you can prove it's you.
Mm-hmm.
There should be like a black mark or a red mark or some kind of mark that you could attach to a troll. If that person is trolling more than 3 times a day, they get this thing. and it sticks there until they improve their behavior.
Yeah.
There should be some punishment for people online who just throw insults at other people who are vicious, who are rude, who are cruel, who use a certain amount of swearing, who, you know, who are abusive and nasty.
The sorts of people who would do this would actually strive to get a black mark.
Yeah, but then the rest of us don't.
But you know who you're dealing with.
And you can actually, you could stop them from appearing on your timeline, all of them, all together, by just saying, I don't want any trolls this year.
Next year, maybe.
Yeah, I'll see.
You know how on WhatsApp you can mute notifications for like a year? You should be able to do that for trolls. Am I completely crazy?
Look, and it's interesting that Kanye West, of all people, was referencing something similar.
Because
take anything Kanye West says with a pinch of salt. But last week, he was talking about how he thinks that social media really is a major reason why so many people are committing suicide these days. And so he wants to talk to the likes of Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey from Twitter to remove the number of likes and your number of followers being visible.
Yes, I love this.
So, yeah, that's his new rant and his whole cause. He says that basically nowadays people are only getting their validation from how many retweets did I get? How many followers do I have? And he says, you know what? If you think you want to follow Leanne because Leanne is just funny on Twitter, well, follow Leanne based on that.
Yeah,
you know, don't follow because it's a trend or because...
I don't think it would make any difference to people who are genuinely enjoying social media. It wouldn't bother them to not get the likes. I wouldn't care less if I didn't know how many people had seen my post. Would you? Would it bother you? Is it like a competition for you? Do you need to check your likes?
Of course it is. That is the exact dopamine hit that makes social media what it is.
I had to think about that one. If I'm honest, yes.
That's a stupid question, Gareth. Of course, that's the main reason people give it to us.
If they took it away.
I think with brands, it also makes a huge difference. If you have a brand that you're trying to promote, I mean, that besides this wonderful job that I have on a Monday morning, I have a real job, and that's doing social media for brands. And we would fall apart if we didn't know how many likes we were getting. And
I don't know. I think that like if you can't behave yourself, there should maybe not be a penalty that gets you into trouble, but that other people can know this is what you do. You're a shit stirrer. It's your whole job.
Well, if you want to
professional shit stirrer.
If you want to put up some anti-bullying armor,
okay,
you can do it with food.
Oh, really?
The best foods to eat for psychological well-being also happen to be the healthiest foods around. So there are no surprises here, but these foods are great for our mental health and decreasing our risk of depression and anxiety.
What are they?
Complex carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm. I bought
found in fruit, packet, veggies, etc.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say I bought a packet of complex carbohydrates the other day.
Mm-hmm. Don't you love probably, that?
I don't know. Maybe they were simple. I'm guessing.
My favorite. Some sprinkle of salt and pepper. Oh, good to go.
In second place, antioxidants.
Yes.
So berries and things.
Berries and cream. Berries and cream. I'm the kind of man who likes berries and cream. But then probably not the cream.
Probably not. Omega-3, so fish and eggs and grass-fed meats. B vitamins, especially 6 and 12 and folate. Very good for depression.
All right.
And prebiotics and probiotics.
Ooh. And pro.
So yogurts.
Yes. Good and bad bacteria need some good bacteria to influence our mood, behavior, and brain health.
Do you have a list of the things that are bad for our psychology?
I don't.
Psychological
but
well-being.
I could probably tell you wine.
Wine. Sugars.
Simple carbohydrates.
Yeah, sugars. I'm telling you, sugars. We don't know how bad that stuff is for us.
Oh, it's the new poison. Well, it always has been, but now it's been recognized as it.
Well, you know that the whole sugar industry has been trying to make it seem like a good thing. Do you remember those ads that the sugar industry used to put up?
I love sugar.
Yeah. In fact, there's one. There's the whole one, thing. There's one here that Jane sometimes, she knows the words to. It goes do ba do
do do do. Yes.
Shuba do 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 do.
Shuba
do 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 do.
Sugar gives us energy.
Woo! I do remember that. I love sugar.
Yes. Yeah, and then you get diabetes.
No, they skipped that in the song. We just focused on the great things.
I got diabetes.
Woo! Yeah, it's not exactly catchy. Don't want to play around with that.
Do you know that we have one of the highest incidences in the world of diabetes?
No, I didn't.
Yes, South Africa has, and I'm talking about type 2 diabetes, we have one of the highest incidences in the world.
Oh, my dear.
Uh-huh. Think about that one.
Just got to praise the Lord that you're alive and well right now. That's about it.
Well, if you are, you're one of the lucky ones, because we do have a serious problem in this country with that. All right, when we come back in a minute, we're going to talk to Robin from Lifestyle Home and Garden about all the indigenous plants. A lot of people are celebrating Heritage Day over the long weekend. That was the reason we had a long weekend. And Robin's got some ideas for us on what you could do to improve your garden with indigenous plants. And it's not as hard as you think. Okay, lots to talk about, lots of people to get cracking with this morning. And one of them is Robin from Lifestyle Home and Garden. How are you, Robin?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you, Gareth?
Good. You're wearing a very lifestyle top today.
Thank you. That's yes, good. I always have to, you know, live the brand. So yeah. Being very floral today.
Floral. Beautiful. Flowers all over it. So today we're talking about indigenous plants, and everybody goes, oh no, this sounds like work, because they assume indigenous plants will mean having to dig up everything else in their garden and plant other things that are probably quite boring, because when you think indigenous plants, and you're not educated, and you're about to change that for us, a lot of people think, oh no, thorn trees and grasses and boring and dull brown stuff.
Well, Gareth, luckily that's not all that is indigenous. So I think just in light of Heritage Day yesterday, what we really want to highlight is just the awareness about indigenous. What does it mean? What plants are indigenous? And also just sort of encouraging people to be proud of our heritage. So plant some indigenous plants in your garden. There are beautiful indigenous plants that make beautiful, colorful flowers, not only brown and grasses, like you say. For example, the Macaya Bella. People love it. Beautiful scented white flowers. Phrelinia, Plectranthus, Pelargoniums, Fahies, Clivias. These are popular plants that people plant to add color to their garden. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are actually indigenous. Agapanthus, Arum lilies, Polygalum, Myrtifolia. Beautiful purple flowers.
Wow, what's that last one? Ooh. Polygalum, what's it?
Myrtifolia.
I love it when you talk foreign.
Oh, Henry.
What is that?
It's a beautiful shrub that produces these adorable little purple flowers. They almost look they look like butterflies when their wings are closed at the top. They're absolutely beautiful, bright green leaves with purple and white flowers. The other thing is strelitzias. People love strelitzias, those crane-like flowers.
Those orange and purpley. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So there really is, there's such a variety of indigenous plants. Obviously, fynbos, which we discussed 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Those are also indigenous. And obviously, lots of indigenous trees, wild fig, aloes, which are beautiful, yellowwoods, acacias. All of that is indigenous. And the big thing about indigenous plants is that they're more hardy than exotic plants. So they use less resources.
They're actually used to the climate, the amount of water, all of that stuff that we have in South Africa. They're not like these foreign invaders that are going to come in and suck up all the water supply or require less sun or more sun or want other nutrients from the ground that aren't necessarily there.
Exactly. So they naturally adapted to our climate and our soil, which obviously means that they you know, thrive easier, they're easier to maintain, they will use less of your resources, so they won't need as much watering or fertilizing or pest control, because they obviously grow naturally in this type of environment. Also, they encourage more wildlife, local birds and wildlife and insects and butterflies, lots of butterflies, because obviously this is where they naturally grow, so the habit, they create a habitat that wildlife enjoy.
See, Leanne?
You see?
Not like that crap.
Told you.
All that exotic stuff you've got growing in your garden.
Oh, gosh. Don't even get me started. I actually had a landscaper come through to have a look at my garden, because I have all the plants that I don't like. All of them. Everything's
all
spiky.
Exotics? Oh, right. Oh, really?
Yeah, lots of spiky stuff and nothing soft.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's come in, and basically if I had to remove everything she wants me to remove, I'd have one shrub.
Oh, no.
But so I'm going to do it slowly and get everything in there. But, yeah, I'm obviously trying to put in as much indigenous stuff.
What a disaster. You basically have to blow up your whole garden.
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, I only bought the place a year ago, so the time has come now to do the garden. But
And who was living there before? A wicked witch?
It was a woman who clearly likes, you know, things like, I don't know what they're really called, but I call them banana trees, which don't do well in Gauteng.
Banana leaves, yes, they don't.
They're brown and stripped all the time. Mm. They need to be in a tropical climate.
Yeah.
So she's put all the wrong sorts of things in there. There's so much bamboo that the ground is just bamboo roots.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
It's all the wrong stuff.
It's a good thing that you're doing a refresh.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, aren't you glad Robin's here? She can also advise you. All right, so let's look at a couple of things. First of all, I have spoken to some people who are fairly expert in this, and because Johannesburg is so green now, it never used to be. It used to be grassland.
Yes. Right?
Now we've created a microclimate here. Where actually there are a lot of plants that would normally not survive on the high veld that do, because they're part of this microclimate in which there is a lot more rain maybe than there would have been when it was grassland. There's a lot more shade because there are big trees. There are plant species that have come in that have changed the fauna and flora slightly. So all of this has to be taken into consideration too.
Yes, that's right. So when you look at indigenous, you're generally talking about plants that occur naturally in a greater area. So a country or, you know, a big region like Africa, let's say Southern mm-hmm. Africa continent.
Right.
And then if you narrow it down, you talk more about endemic plants. So those are things that occur naturally in the high veld, for example. So a specific area with specific conditions. But the other important thing to realize is that plants are living organisms. So they also adapt and they also evolve based on the environment that they grow in. So like you say, there's definitely been a change in the environment since obviously Joburg has become more built up. It has become, you know, quite foresty, like you say, very green and shade. And so obviously the plants that are specific to the high veld, mm-hmm. they will suit that condition. So the grassland is one part, because that was the natural. But now this new forest type of environment is also coming into play. So it's very important to understand the two so that you can make an informed decision about what do you want to plant, what will work best in your area where you live based on that sort of microclimate, like you say, Gareth.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, a lot of people who before it was impossible to grow things like palms here, they didn't occur here.
Yes, exactly.
There was no way that a palm tree would be found in the high veld. The what do they call it? The Witwatersrand.
Yeah, met sulke palms.
Yeah, now there are palm trees all over the place, especially Boksburg, lots of palms.
Yes.
I mean, there's a palm forest all over if you look at Boksburg from the sky. But it is interesting because people don't realize also the damage that certain exotic species can do to the water table, to other plants, to animal species, and even to humans. I mean, there are a lot of plants that are particularly bad that do a lot of... I know that gum trees, for example,
suck up huge, yes. huge amounts of water, right?
They do. So there are quite a lot of exotic species that take a lot of resources because they obviously need that because the climate and the soil that we have doesn't suit them. And obviously that will be detrimental to other plants and those that grow naturally. So a lot of people choose to remove exotic trees, especially because they take so much of the nutrient from the soil and they need so much water. So not all exotics are bad. So what you're saying is right, Gareth. I think a lot of people choose to remove those. But don't get all fearful of exotics and remove every exotic in your garden. Mm-hmm. It's just to be aware that sometimes they take more resources.
Don't be a purist.
No. So obviously, if you remove an exotic or you find those are taking too much resources, remove them and then consider planting an indigenous species, an indigenous tree, so that you keep, obviously, the natural biodiversity going and you're still supporting the environment, but you're planting something that's a bit more well-suited, lower maintenance, and obviously only uses resources that it really, really needs and doesn't drain from the other plants in your garden or your area.
Now, you guys have got a whole section of indigenous trees and indigenous plants.
Yes, we do.
And you can go and have a look at those, or you can just get on the web and you can go and see the blog.
Yes, so we've done a blog.
Full list.
Exactly. We've done a blog with some suggestions of indigenous. What does indigenous mean? Just to help you, you know, celebrate our heritage and plant some indigenous plants in your garden. And obviously, you can look on our blog to get some ideas, or you can visit us. We sell a huge variety. We also sell exotics and indigenous. But if you'd like to make that choice, if you'd like to go indigenous and celebrate our heritage, then there's a whole section and you can just come see the wonderful variety. Not boring and bland. They are beautiful. Beautiful, full of flowers and magnificent and, yeah, lots to choose from.
See, I was only saying that for people who are uneducated, Robin.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I knew you'd have changed our minds by the end of it. All right, so go along and you can find out more by heading over to Lifestyle Home and Garden. And by the way, this long weekend, was it busy?
It was very busy. Lots of people shopping, so we're very happy.
Awesome. You can find the blog at lifestyle.co.za and there's an Indigenous Plants for Your Summer Garden blog, which has just been put up now. They are the anchor tenant at the Lifestyle Garden Center, corner of Bayers and Ordea and Esterhout Avenue in Rand Park Ridge. Go to lifestyle.co.za. Choose your lifestyle with Lifestyle Home Garden. And if you're lucky, you could even find Robin there on some days running around sorting things out. But there's a whole staff of people who can help you. So it's not as if you're going to be stranded if you can't find Robin.
Definitely not. There's lots of knowledgeable people.
Oh, Jesus, where's Robin?
I've got to go home.
All right, very good. Thanks, Robin. Always
Thank
nice
you.
To see you. We'll see you again next week. Cool. There's Robin with a little update for you. All right, Ben, what do you got going on this morning? What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about if Star Wars was Australian, Gareth.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Star Wars? Oh.
We're not
Star
chasing Wars. You out, Robin. What do you think? You watch Star Wars? No, you don't care.
No, I don't watch Star Wars.
I knew that.
But it would be very interesting if it was Australian.
How would it be interesting? Wouldn't it be off-putting?
Well, I just think it's so funny. We talk about heritage, right? And Australians are just like a certain thing. But everywhere they get represented...
Do Australians have a heritage?
everywhere they
it's
get represented,
boring.
They get represented in the same way. It's brilliant.
Leanne, you've been to Australia a number of times. You don't have nice things to say about it.
No, it's very boring.
The heritage is called boring.
No, you've been there. You've got family there, right?
Yeah, I do. Right. They're boring.
Oh,
listen to this. This is if Star Wars was Australian, all right?
G'day, mate. How you going? Han Solo, Captain the Millennium Dingo. Chewie here tells me you're only looking for passage to the bloody Alderaan system. How mad are you, cunts? That's our whoop-whoop.
Yeah, mate. We're fucking crackers. We're mad as a pair of cut snakes, eh? Long as the ship's fast, we'll get on it.
Fast? Sorry, mate. You never heard of the Millennium Dingo?
No, mate. Should I have?
Where are you cunts from anyway? It runs like a possum up a gum tree, mate. I've outrun Imperial starships. I'm not talking about those ute schoolies like to drive, taking a couple of Eskies up to Hoth either. I'm talking about those big cunts. Poof. See you later, mate. She's fast enough, all right, Digger. What's the cargo?
Only passengers, hey. It's not going to be chockers. Just me, the ankle biter here, two robots and a box of goon, am I right?
Too bloody right, Corba. Bit of a sausage fest, distinct lack of Sheila's on that list, but yeah. She'll be right.
Yeah, ripper, mate. Hey, one more thing. No fucking around and asking questions, all right?
This is how Australians would. That would be exactly what Australian Star Wars would sound like. Horrible.
That's to say
you've
the
got,
least.
Yeah, yeah.
It just never gets old, these people.
That's how they talk to each other.
They talk.
But they don't sound threatening at all. No, exactly. Nothing scary.
Doesn't exactly work. And I was trying to envision the whole scene or some theatric music. No.
But also they have so many of their own words, you hardly even know what they're talking about. Yeah. The phrases that they use are just obscene.
Yeah, I think I got chockers and that was about it.
All chockers language means packed full.
Chock-a-block, yeah. Oh. Chockers, mate.
There is actually, I think for people who emigrate to Australia, there's like a language course they have to go on.
I'm sure.
Because otherwise you wouldn't know what was going on. You'd think people were being aggressive when they were just giving you directions to the shops.
Well, I mean, imagine Australian people moving to other countries. They'd have to have a language course in English.
Or just manners, really.
And manners.
But it's just, it's this fascination they have with slang. Like it's,
everything must be shortened.
Shortened and made to sound like it's coming out of a drunk man's mouth.
Mm. I know three Australians and none of them call me Gareth.
Yeah.
Gazza.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Gary. The one called me Gary, and I said, that's not my name.
And so he just carried on anyway.
Yeah, he didn't care. Yeah.
You went all Clint Eastwood on them. That's not,
that
my,
is
name.
Not my name. But if you say it again, I'm going to pump you full of lead.
But speaking of this topic, some of Shane Warne's Tinder stuff has come out. They've been leaked.
But he's got a legitimate account.
All right, so yeah. Shane Warne's got a book out now, and I said to Ben, do you want to read this? Ben was like, yeah, not really. It's going to be full of propaganda about Shane's cricket career.
Well,
what's like, happened
I'm,
with his Twitter?
I'm sure it's interesting, but...
His Twitter sounds... I mean, his Tinder sounds a lot more interesting.
His Tinder's quite something. His bio is just, why not? Exclamation mark.
Okay, but hang on.
Shane, shirtless on a beach.
Isn't he still with Elizabeth Hurley? Or
no, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So he's resorted
to Tinder. So he's just been single all this time.
Imagine Tindering hard.
Imagine you're a 20-something girl looking through Tinder and there's some, hi, I'm your match, Shane Warne, old cricketer.
A few years ago, he burst onto the Tinder scene. Basically, a picture of him, what looks to be a room with a mirrored ceiling. He takes a picture of himself in bed, shirtless.
Shane.
And it's, I've decided to give this a try. Sorry, Shane, 46. I've decided to give this a try. Ex-sportsman and now a poker player and commentator. Travel lots and up for some fun. Are you?
Oh, no. That's creepy. Also, his plastic surgery face. Yeah, that freaks me out.
Are you talking about the Botox he didn't have?
Oh, yes, that.
But yeah, so some of these messages have come out. Obviously, so young girls in... He's in England quite a lot, obviously, for various work things. And this one woman has sort of just shared a screen grab where they're talking innocently about she's got exams, he's going, well done. And then, like, nothing happens for 2 months, and out of the blue, he just says, hello, stranger, how are you? Hope all awesome, and you're killing it. I'm in need of some naughty fun. Do you want to play?
So that's pretty horrible.
Basically goes from nothing to naughty fun.
I'm ready for naughty fun. How about you?
Oh, no, it's so weird.
Yeah. All right, well, here two guys are going to give us a lesson in how to speak Australian. You have to abbreviate, which is what Leanne said, everything. So you want to try a quick crash course?
Yes, please.
Right. G'day, my name's Josh. This is my mate, Reese.
G'day.
Now, we're from Australia. We love a good chat, but not for too long. So what us Aussies have gone and done is abbreviated everything.
Australia.
Football.
Footy.
Tennis ball.
Tenno.
Biscuit.
Bicky.
Chocolate.
All right, have you got some of those?
Yes.
Bicky.
Bicky.
Is?
Biscuit.
Chocky.
Chocolate.
Australia.
Australia. Dumbasses.
You're good at this, all right? Next.
Chocolate. Chocolate. Biscuit.
Chocky. Bicky.
McDonald's.
Maccas.
Laptop.
Lappy.
Maccas.
What was Maccas?
McDonald's.
Oh.
A lappy.
A laptop
is a laptop?
Is a lappy.
I don't
Newman
know.
Newman is a
that.
Laptop.
And a chocky bicky is a chocolate biscuit. That's incredible. All right.
ACDC.
Akadaka.
Devastated.
Defo.
Definitely.
Defo.
Morning tea.
Mornos.
No one has ever said that.
I say that all the time.
What time?
Mornos.
Would you like some morning tea now?
Mornos!
Mornos.
Give me some goddamn mornos! Alright.
Monos. Get a bicky.
Afternoon.
Arvo.
This afternoon.
Savo.
Dinner.
Savo.
The Savo.
So oh, that's an... Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Savo. Now you know.
Yeah, they do need a crash course in English.
Wow. Dinner is... Dindins.
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 Breakfast. Brekkie. Service station.
Server.
Petrol.
Petty.
Bottle shop.
Bottler.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Bowling club.
Bolo.
Garbage man.
Garbo.
A garbo. What do you do, mate? I'm a garbo. And what do? I'm a postman, which means?
Man.
Post.
Posty.
Posty.
I'm a posty. This is incredible.
Politician. Polo.
I have a book Polo. Called... I have a little book called Let's Talk Strine. And it means Let's Talk Australian. And it's got all the words written out for you, like Eggnisha is air conditioner.
Eggnisha.
Eggnisha. I'll bring it next time.
Can you mention anything new? Is talking about the Prime Minister. Are we going to cross over the primo? What's happening,
yeah.
mate?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I'm sitting here at my desko.
Can you hear it here in Parley?
Parley.
RSL.
RE. Or. RISL.
Smoke break.
Smoker.
Registration.
Regio.
Aggressive.
Aggro.
Pregnant.
This is amazing. Pregnant is preggers.
Preggers, yeah.
Wow.
Preggers.
Wollongong. Swimming costume.
Cozzy.
Mosquito.
Mozzie.
Tracksuit pants.
Tracking pants.
Monday.
Monday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Friday.
Friday.
Saturday.
Saturday.
Sunday.
Sunday.
Birthday.
Birthday.
Musician.
Music.
U-turn.
Birthday? No, no, okay, I've had
like
enough.
Like cozzy, we say. I say it. Mm-hmm. Put on your cozzy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I say mozzie.
Yeah.
So we do use some of them.
So we do some of it. Mm. All right. Well, then it probably is easier for us to transition into Australian than for them to transition into South African English.
Into like posh parts of London, they'd be screwed.
Can we be introspective for a second? Do you think people all over the world make fun of us like this too and talk about how we pronounce things and the way we say things?
Because we're so diverse, it's difficult to make fun of us.
Do we not have a sound... Even though in South Africa we do have so many accents. I mean, in Australia, you could probably argue that a West Coast Australian sounds a little bit different to an East Coast Australian.
Yeah, I'm sure there are, but ours are completely diverse. There isn't a South African accent.
Yeah, there isn't.
Yeah, I also don't think so. Gareth, when you travel, don't you find that people are often confused as to where you come from? If you don't say I'm South African, often people are like, oh, are you from Australia? Or are you from this place? Or are you from that place?
If someone asked me if I was from Australia, I'd be very insulted.
I know, it feels like an insult.
Don't go to Southeast Asia then.
But people often don't, they can't actually pick up or recognize a South African accent.
No, you are right. That's happened. That's happened a couple of times. Look, I usually get mistaken for being English.
Oh, yes. But that's understandable, your posh accent.
I get American quite often.
You get American?
So weird. Even in South Africa.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Jesus, you're a disaster.
When I was a waitress, often people would say to me, are you American?
Really?
Sure. Look, it was in the south of Joburg.
Then what do you get?
Not a lot, Gareth. I don't talk to strangers.
That's why you haven't been interfered with, Ben.
It's like I read the other day, how do you kill an introvert? Put a stranger in his kitchen.
All right, that's all we got time for this morning. I do, however, have two very cool guests coming in to talk to us in a moment or two, Yanez Vermeeren and Yusuf Stevens, who are the managing directors of Cheeky Media. We're going to talk a little bit of TV, find out what the guys are up to. And they've got some interesting shows on the go at the moment, so we'll talk a little bit about those as well. You know what to do if you want to get hold of us. You can message us at 079-748-2090. I had to check the number for a second there. And if you want to call, 0861-555-189. Thank you, Robin, for popping
Thank
by to join us
me.
Today. As always, go and visit Robin and get some indigenous trees this week. It's going to be a short week. It'll be over before you know it. Thank you to you for joining us. And we will catch you tomorrow at 6 a.m. if you are up early, like most of us are, to get things done. We've got extra work to fit in because we only have 4 days to do it in this week. All right, so Yusuf and Yanez coming in a moment or two.
Nice.
Yeah. You going to hang around?
I might.
No, all right. Well, don't do me any favors. Jeez. Almost like I'm forcing you at gunpoint. You know what, Leanne? Don't worry. You just go get out of here.
Okay. Bye. Oh,
very easy. Yeah, thanks. Here are the main headlines this morning. Are you ready? After Cyril Ramaphosa delivered his 5-point plan last week to save South Africa and gained much media attention, Julius Malema and his team wanted to jump on the bandwagon too. So far, they have only 2 points, though. That is for everyone to give all the land to the EFF, and the other is for the EFF to take control of everyone's money. They aren't sure what the next 3 points will be, but they'll make it up as they go along. So stand by for that. The first royal same-sex marriage took place over the weekend. Did you hear about this? The Queen's cousin, Lord Ivor Mountbatten, married his partner James Coyle, but Her Majesty did not attend the ceremony. Apparently she was keen to go, but Philip flatly refused. He said it was bad enough that he had to see Harry marry some mixed-race tart, but seeing a pair of whoopsies kiss in front of a priest was a step too far for him. No, I'm not gay. And finally, Tiger Woods is back in the winner's circle, and with that, the girls are starting to show up to the golf tournaments again. Yes. This week at the Ryder Cup, the amount of loose women is staggering. Players' wives are being instructed to carry knuckle dusters and tasers to deal with heavy-handed attention around the course and team hotel. So, if you're going along, or if you're going to watch it on TV, keep an eye out for the schlutch. That's what you need to know. CliffCentral.com